Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to today's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. This episode is a bit special because I'm joined today by my sister-in-law, Jess Clark. Jess is married to my younger brother, and I'm excited to get a chance to talk with her about an exciting new venture she has to help small businesses and entrepreneurs like many of us listening. Jess and her sister, Britt, have recently launched their own business, Evergreen Studio, which is a boutique virtual assistant studio that caters to creatives and entrepreneurs. With over a decade of teaching under her belt, Jess is your go-to gal for taking administrative and operational tasks off your plate. Combining her strong organizational skills and innate people skills, Jess excels at managing customer relationships and keeping businesses organized and working efficiently. And she's also bilingual. Jess thrives on creative challenges, making connections with people, and learning new skills. When she's not running the day-to-day of your business, you will find her in her yard gardening and raising chickens, playing with her two children, or curled up reading a good book with a glass of wine. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to get a chance to talk with you about this venture, and just for listeners to get to know more about your story and the work that you're doing. So I always ask guests, regardless of whether they're a therapist or working, you know, kind of therapist adjacent, supporting therapists, what is your story? How did you get into the work that you're doing that led you to kind of where you are now?
So I am, as you said, coming off of over a decade of teaching, and I have had a roller coaster of a ride with teaching, but I'm finding that I am coming to the end of my rope with with that profession. I think a lot of people are hearing there's a lot of teacher burnout, and I am one of those as well. So due to other issues in my own personal life, I just needed to take a step back and start something where I would be able to work from home, be my own boss, which randomly I had spotted something on Instagram with a teacher that won teacher of the year. And then midway through, she said, nope, I can't do this anymore. She left and she started a virtual assistants company. Wow. Like, I could do that.
Yeah.
So, using all of the skills that I have accrued from over a decade of teaching, I thought, yeah, I can absolutely put that into practice in a virtual assistance profession. And my sister decided she would want to join in for the numbers side of things. So it was kind of like a perfect match because we can kind of have a whole package deal when it comes to helping potential clients with getting their businesses back on track or just helping them to get started. So I'm actually really excited. I think I've always wanted to be my own boss. And I think I've said that since becoming an adult, and I'm finally I feel like I'm there. So I'm very
Yeah.
excited to start this new venture, and it's pretty cool being able to work with my sister as well. We make a pretty good team. So I am very excited about it. I'm excited to be talking about it today and getting our name
Yeah.
out there. So yeah.
Yeah. What are the feelings you have about leaving this kind of comfort place, right? Where you're like, this is what my background is. This is what I've been doing. This is what I know. You know, I think we go to school, whether it's for teaching, accounting, counseling, you know, whatever it is, we go to school and we think like, oh, this is the thing I'm going to do. And I think across many professions, but you know, teaching for sure, mental health for sure. A lot of us get to a point where we're like, wait a second, either this isn't what I thought I wanted or I thought it was going to be like, or like you said, life has thrown curveballs or just has different needs because of different seasons that we're saying, like, maybe what I've been doing is not going to continue to work for me. And so I need to change things up, which can create a whole bunch of feelings. So, like, what is that like for you taking that step off this ledge?
That has also been a roller coaster. If you talk to your brother, my husband, you'll hear him say that I have been a bit of a hot mess. Just feeling, I think for anybody, when you are coming into a big life change, it can be terrifying.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm definitely making the right choice for myself, but I also at the same time am feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm leaving a profession where I have total job security, I have a pension, I have like all of that
Yeah.
stuff, good health benefits. But at the end of the day, is that all worth it if I am not a whole and happy person?
Yeah.
So that was kind of the factor that led me to say, no, I just it this needs to we need to shift. But even with that knowledge, it has been very scary. I'm just trying to tell myself, keep one day at a time moving forward, keep doing what you can do, and if I put my all into it, I'm positive it's going to work out. It's just as I'm moving through those changes, it's a lot of like I guess being unsure of myself and
Sure.
you like talking myself up so that I am feeling confident enough to go after certain clients and
Yeah.
meet with other people that I would never have thought I'd be meeting with. Yeah, it's just a whole new skill set that I'm learning, and I do love learning, so I feel like my brain is actually really enjoying the process of finding new and different things to
Yeah.
explore, because I feel like in my experience with teaching, I had just gotten to a point where I was kind of flatlined and
Sure.
not looking forward to the day to day. So this has been a very eye-opening experience to
Yeah.
realizing that, like, yes, change is scary, but I'm also realizing like I'm finding joy in my day to day again and
Yeah.
feeling more alive, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
Before it was just kind of going through the motions, and yeah, it's a lot, but I think we as women also we have a lot of strength I think we don't always tap into,
Yeah.
and I'm finding that throughout this journey I'm on right now that I have
Yeah.
so many other things I can offer the world, and that doesn't mean leaving teaching is making me less of a person or that I am leaving a calling, or it just life changes. You gotta
Yeah.
be flexible, adaptable to it, and yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think many of our listeners can relate to so many different parts of what you just shared. And I mean, I know I definitely can, as far as like leaving this safe zone, right? Where you're like, I know this thing, but looking at quality of life, if anything, the last few years post-COVID, I think has really highlighted is like, what kind of life do we want, right? Like, what do we want? And what does that look like? And it doesn't have to look like what we've always thought it was. That's why people are saying, no, I'm not returning to the workspace. Like, I'm going to work from home, right? Because of quality of life. And And I think for a lot of us who, you know, many of our listeners are therapists or in the mental health field, we go to school and we think, you know, okay, this is what we're going to do, which is usually like agency work, or we're going to work for community mental health. And then we get into that and kind of like you're saying, like it becomes a little bit monotonous, or we're burnt out. And finding that, wait a second, I can take the things that I have learned and I can use them in a different way, whether that is in private practice or in something completely different, is okay. Because I think it needs to be really about like alignment with self, and about how does this align with my needs, my family's needs, my values. And to piggyback off of what you were saying, like I know one of the things I have loved as I have journeyed outside of private practice and into work of like coaching and consulting in this podcast is that it uses the same skills, like, you know, what you have as a teacher. It's a lot of similar skills, I'm sure, but you're flexing like this muscle that
Yes. Yes.
you kind of forget you had, right? Where, oh, I get to imagine, or I get to create, or
Create.
I get to design. And I don't, I mean, some of it's tangible, some of it is like in your mind. And that for me, it has tapped into this other aspect of myself that I didn't know was missing.
Yeah.
And so I think what you're talking about is so important, that where there is this fear of leaving that shoreline, that so many other beautiful things can come on the other side of that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just said something that resonated with me a lot. Like, is this okay? And I think I've struggled with that a lot because I think as moms, we take on so much responsibility for the happiness of our families. And yeah, I've been wrestling with that question a lot. Like, is it okay for me to leave a safe job that's helping my family survive?
Yeah.
But I guess at the end of the day, is it helping my family thrive if I'm not happy all the time? Which
Yeah.
not even happy all the time, just feeling my own worth and like I am doing something that brings me joy, or I guess makes me feel fulfilled as a person, because I want to emanate that for my kids. I don't want them
Yeah.
to go into a job just because the world tells them that's what they should be doing for the next
Right.
30 years and stay there and go through the motions because that's what they see around them all the time. I just don't want to be that for them. So I think
Sure.
it's been fun to see them get excited for me with something
Yeah.
like I'm enjoying talking about, and they're like, "Oh, how'd your meeting go, Mom?" I'm like, "Oh,
Yeah.
great, thank you." So they're
Yeah.
like my own little personal cheerleaders right now because I think they've been hearing me be unhappy for a long time,
Sure.
and I think that really needed to change for our family so that everybody in the family is feeling
Yeah.
better about life and how we're moving together as a family. So, yeah, I think that is a huge, huge thing for women when they're considering these big changes is, okay, is this okay? Can I do this?
Yeah.
Make sure my family is going to be good to go. But I think at the
Yeah.
end of the day, if we are fulfilled as women, and human beings, then
Yeah.
that's going to be a whole lot better for our families than maybe a little bit of a higher paycheck and security.
Sure.
So.
Well, and I think to your point, it's modeling for our children that what is most important, right? Is it just about a paycheck, or is it about fulfillment, alignment, satisfaction, work-life balance, you know, a variety of things. And to for each person it is different, right? Like for some, no, the money absolutely is precedent, because it is about survival, and maybe there's not a partner there to support them. And for others, it may be that, yeah, the money is important, but maybe not X amount. I need to cut back so that I can not be unpresent or unavailable for my family, right? And so how do I figure out what that looks like? But I think, you know, it's interesting you bring up asking, like, is it okay? Which is like this permission asking. And I see that so often in our profession with mental health, that there's a lot of us that are like, am I allowed to do this? Am I okay to do this? Because there are such like stringent rules with certain things and so forth. And I've asked colleagues, I'm like, do men that are in our field ask this? And I don't see them asking permission in the same way that women are. And so I think it's really interesting that this is a theme that is not just happening like in our profession, but in this, you know, you're in the teaching profession and you're still asking, am I allowed to do this? Am I okay? And, you know, to ask ourselves, you know, it's not, doesn't mean that we have to like go blow up our family, and just do whatever we want, but to say, like, it is okay for me to say this isn't working for me anymore. It is okay to say I need something different. And it doesn't have to be solely on me to shoulder this burden of unhappiness or of dissatisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we take that with us every day. I think as women, like you said, I hear very often men do not have the same reel going in their mind as women do. And yeah, to kind of break loose of that and I guess start thinking like a man. I don't have to have all these weights on my mind constantly. And that could probably even be better for my family and my own mental health. So it's very interesting.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/comp connecting. So for the listeners who may not be familiar with like virtual assistants, or maybe they've heard of it, but you know, aren't super familiar, tell us a little bit, like, what is a VA? What does a virtual assistant do?
Yeah. So full disclosure, I had no idea what a virtual assistant was before I stumbled upon that Instagram feed. So basically, your old school thinking of a virtual assistant would be like your executive admin, like your old school secretary, or that would be the old school thinking on it. Today, a virtual assistant is someone who goes into a business, everything remote. And we are there to help business owners make their lives easier. So specifically for myself and my sister, we have four specialties that we offer, but virtual assistants, you can find them for anything regarding business. A lot of VAs will specialize in specific areas and only hone in on one thing and have a very specific clientele. But it's like gaining a teammate for your business that can just help you kind of sort through the day-to-day, everything that you get stuck in, and you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh my goodness, I still have 100 emails. I have all these meetings to schedule. I don't know what to do about this client. So a VA is someone who comes in and partners with you and says, hey, let me take all of that off your plate so you can focus on what you do best and what you want to do. And we'll take all the drudgery that is the day-to-day administrative tasks or client relationships that are just things that kind of start to bog you down if you can't manage your time or just don't have enough time to get all those things done. So particularly, I'll just talk from what we offer. We have our specialties are digital marketing, and we have executive admin for business owners. And then my sister is the bookkeeper, so she's a certified CPA. And then we have customer relations. So those four were the ones we chose to hone in on because we have the skills to do all of those things well. but you could definitely find VAs for almost anything that you need done in your business, which is pretty cool because you don't have to hire a full-time employee and
Yeah.
it's just for what you need done when you need it done. And it could be a lifelong partnership, or it could be like, hey, I need you for a month just to get back on track, and then we're good and we move on with our lives. So it's a very interesting profession, and it's definitely starting to uptick in the business world where people
Sure.
are realizing like, hey, I don't need to hire a full-time employee with all the packages that go with that,
Yeah.
and I can still have someone who is a professional that is capable of onboarding onto the team quickly and efficiently and get everything done that we need to get done. So that
Yeah.
in a nutshell is a VA.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting, like, you guys have your area of focus, and to recognize that, like, not every VA is the same. Like you said, there are some that focus on a certain type of social media or a certain type of problem, like bookkeeping or social media management, or like you said, the kind of executive admin. And so, yeah, like making sure that you're seeking out the type of support that you're needing specifically for whatever your business is.
Absolutely. Because if you are struggling, there is someone out there that will help. So that is the
Yeah.
beauty of the VA. There are so many out there that are highly qualified and just starting a new career and
Yeah.
in virtual assistants because they needed something different, but they are coming from corporate jobs, public education,
Yeah.
everywhere, and they
Yeah.
are still highly qualified professionals that are there to help your business run smoother. So it's a really
Yeah.
neat opportunity for a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners to be able to kind of streamline their processes and move on with the growth of their business.
Sure. So I know, like, in my talking with fellow colleagues in my world of, therapists, that a lot of times people are like, oh, I think I need help, or I think I need a VA, or I don't even know where to start. What are some questions that we could ask ourselves to, like, kind of figure out, like, maybe it is time for a VA, or maybe it's not quite time, or I'm not ready yet. What are some things that we can be asking ourselves to kind of help figure that out?
I think first and foremost, you need to think about, do you have a budget for a VA? Because you're looking, depending on what you're looking for, you could start anywhere from $100 and keep moving up until 2,000, 3,000, depending on what you are needing. But outside of the budget, some good questions that might tell you that you're ready for a VA, you can think to yourself, am I overwhelmed by administrative tasks, just not having enough time to manage all of them? Have I struggled to meet deadlines? So you're either not growing your business or losing clients because you're not making those deadlines. I think asking, hey, am I unable to keep up with customer service, or are my client relationships hurting because I don't have enough of a presence to continue that work? You could also say like, hey, am I missing growth opportunities because I don't have the bandwidth at the end of the day to tackle those, which I think for a lot of small business
Yeah.
owners, they work all day long and then they get home and they see, I don't know, 50, 100 emails with possible
Sure.
partnerships or clients, and it's like, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow.
Right, right.
You're just so worn out. So I think that's a really big one. One that I think we've already kind of touched on, but is my work-life balance non-existent. So
Yeah.
is a piece of my overall health missing because I am constantly working. And then just a general one, like, am I struggling to manage my time because I just don't have enough of it? So there are tasks that are falling off to the wayside. Again, like I'm missing out on clients, potential leads, all of those things that help you run your business smoothly. So If you are someone listening and you're saying yes, then it might be time for a VA.
No, and absolutely. I'm sitting here going, yep, check, check.
And for a lot of us, it's just having the budget. Like, I wish I had a VA for my normal day-to-day life.
I do know there are like VAs that do help with some of that stuff too. No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think definitely making sure you have the budget, and because we don't want to be putting ourselves in a financial hole, but recognizing too that just because one VA may charge $2,000 doesn't mean that you can't utilize a VA or hire a VA, right? That there are a variety of services out there depending on your budget. So making sure you
Absolutely.
find the one that fits for you.
I think it's also important to think through as well, like, hey, this is an investment. So if I am paying $1,000 a month for a virtual assistant, but they are making me $2,000 plus a month because I've been able to gain five more clients, then that's a no-brainer. Like, yes, do
Yeah,
it.
no, absolutely. Like, what is the return on investment? And that could be a return of time, because time is money, or it could be like, or it could also just be a return of finances, right? That, if I am putting X dollars in, what am I getting back? Am I getting quality of life back? Am I getting, more money in my bank account? What is it that you're gaining from that? And yeah, it's definitely something to consider that, yeah, it's not, it is an expense, but there's a reward that can come from that for sure.
Absolutely. And I think time is the big one there. Yes, money's important and we would all like to make more of it, so life feels a little simpler, but I think having that time to either focus on being with your family, being with your friend group, traveling more if you want to travel, having time to do the things you love about your business instead of slogging through all the awfulness that is the those tasks that just inundate us on a day-to-day basis. I think just getting time back is so important, and that's a huge benefit of hiring a VA.
I'm a big advocate of knowing what goes on in your business, because if you hire a VA or if you have an employee and something happens to them, like if you say, like, I'm going to hire somebody to design my website and they're going to manage it and run it, there's no problem with that at all, right? But if you don't work with them anymore, or something goes down and you can't access them, like they're on vacation or something, you need to know like how that still works. Maybe not everything, but you need to know certain parts of it. So I would imagine that there's a bit of teaching that, like, the we as the customer would have to do with the VA. So, like, what are some things that if someone is thinking about, okay, maybe I am ready to look at hiring a VA, are there things that they either need to know and prepare for themselves, or like get prepared in the business to begin working with a VA?
Yeah, let me touch on what you said first before I get into the nitty-gritty of that. So, like I said before, a virtual assistant, a good one, is supposed to come in to your business, your practice, whatever it is you're doing, and you are really getting a partner. It shouldn't be like I'm your boss, you're my employee. It should be a partnership. So, like you said, if the person hiring the VA is worried about how the day-to-day is going to go once a VA comes in and sets up either, I don't know, systems for them or new processes to make everything run smoother. So that definitely can be a fear for a paying customer about, like, hey, what if my VA gets sick? Or what if my VA is on vacation and something implodes in my business, like, what do I do then? So, a good VA is going to definitely come on as your partner. They will have an onboarding process, which we'll talk about what a paying customer would want to have ready for that. But a good VA will onboard the client, make sure as the whatever it is that you're hiring the VA for, the VA should make sure that you understand what went into it, how it does work, so that you can also access whatever it is you're creating together as a team. So that if the VA does go MIA, which, life happens. If they do go MIA, you as the paying customer would have enough of a background to be able to keep everything moving how it was with the VA. So that is a typical process when you hire a virtual assistant. You will get an onboarding period of time where the VA is learning your preferences, what you want to accomplish, and your goals, and then working together and communicating throughout the entire process so that you feel very comfortable moving forward with the virtual assistant. So, on that note, too, you do need to find a virtual assistant that you gel with. You want someone that
Sure.
you're comfortable with, comfortable communicating with, and just gets what you're doing in your business and wants to help you and see
Sure.
you succeed would be a huge part of finding someone. Back to the main question here. What does a client need who is looking to hire a VA? So, I think first and foremost, the business owner that is looking for a VA should have a clear understanding of what exactly they want to delegate. So I think having, even if the business owner writes a list out of like, these are things that I just am struggling to get through, and kind of numbering them out so that when you go through the onboarding process with a VA, they can tackle it one through however many you have and make sure that they are working with you to see the results that you want to get. So definitely having a clear understanding yourself before you even begin to hire a VA. Write down everything that are pain points for you, things that have been on your to-do list for months, if not years. So making sure all those are ready to go. Another idea that clients need to have in place would be effective communication channels. And this might be something that a VA would help the possible client, potential client set
Sure.
up for them. But already having in place, if you are capable of doing this, video conferencing, CRM, client relationship management portals, if you have shared calendars, any project management platforms. So having all of those ready to go. And if you don't have them ready but are looking to get those set up, knowing ahead of time, these are all systems that I want put in place and I need your help to do that. So those are all really important. I think if you already have systems in place, a really helpful step in the onboarding process is having a list of all the platforms you want your VA to access with logins. That will make the process go a whole lot quicker, and it will help the VA to get a feel for what's actually going on in your business, because they'll be able to come in quickly and see everything. And obviously, with that piece, you do want to find someone you trust so that you're not just giving out all your personal information to someone who might not have the best intentions. So, that's a huge piece of hiring a VA as well. You want mutual trust there and respect so that you feel comfortable giving that information to them. Lastly, I would say having a well-defined onboarding process, which a lot of times the VA you are looking to hire will walk you through that. So it's
Meaning
not.
like onboarding process for the VA.
Yes. So it's not imperative that the business owner has this set up ahead of time, but it can help to have a document that details any business processes that you want set out for the VA, your personal preferences, expectations you have for the partnership, anything that would help a VA get a handle on the culture of your business and how you want your business to operate if it's not quite there yet. Any information you can give ahead of time just helps the onboarding process run a whole lot more smoothly. So I think having those four things set apart will help you as a business owner be able to, first of all, find a VA that will help you with the things that you actually need help
Right.
with. And then we'll help the process run a lot more efficiently if you have those set up.
Well, I mean, I think some of listening to you talk, some of what is kind of coming up for me is okay, so a lot of it around is about like expectations, meaning what is it that you as the client are going into this, partnership with this VA, what are you expecting of them, right? I mean, because I mean, so many of us could be like, I just need help. Like, we're all there, right? But if we're not going in and saying, okay, this is clearly what I'm expecting of you. This is what I need. I'm looking for this to be done in this particular way. That yeah, there may be a little bit of work on the front end for us setting that up for a VA, but it's going to be beneficial to both parties in the end because there's very clear expectations of what you as the business owner are looking for and expecting then this VA to deliver.
And I will even add, it's also going to save you time and money. Like, it does take a little
Yeah.
bit of time to get all those things together. But if you're kind of like navigating your way through what you think you need with a VA, just to be frank, that VA is charging you for that time. So
Yeah.
if you have all that prepared and you can just say, hey, here's what I need, here's what I want to break down with you, you're going to save yourself money and time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if listeners want to learn more about you and the work that your sister Britt does too, as part of your VA studio, where can listeners go to learn more and connect with you guys?
Yeah, so we are online. Our website is evergreenstudiova for virtual assistant.com. And you can look at everything we offer there and you can learn a little bit more about us and sign up for a meeting, what we call a discovery call in the VA world, so that we can get to know each other and see if we're a good fit. We are also on Instagram at evergreenstudiova. And our page is Evergreen Studio on Facebook, LinkedIn. I think we
Yeah.
put all these in my bio
Yeah.
at the bottom. So
They'll be in the show notes.
yes,
Yeah.
wherever you are, we are there too. So yeah, we would love to hear from any listeners that answered yes to any of those questions about the possibility of, yes, I need a VA, please help me. So we would love to get to know you, hear about what you're going through, what your pain points are, and see if we could be a good fit and move forward as a partnership.
And like I said, we'll have all of those links in the show notes so listeners can absolutely connect with you, whether it's through social media, through email, your website, it's all there. Jess, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today and just kind of sharing your story, your experience with our listeners.
Thank you for having me. That was fun.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.